I know there's something wrong.
Oh, that was one of the things that I loved about that broadcast the most. Oh my gosh, I was about in tears because he comes out in the Tavares jersey, and I'm like, I guess I didn't realize, I had kind of forgotten that they had been in Long Island previously for the MJF feud, and they had booed CM Punk, and that they were going to continue to do so, I suppose. Because, I mean, if you're CM Punk and you're wearing that out there, you're intentionally antagonizing them. I would assume, though, because he's not actually feuding with MJF, that they could have let it slide. But he's.
He was pretty scathing the last time he was there, so I guess not. But that's right, I forgot about this Tavares thing. He never signed with the Islanders and signed with the Maple Leafs an hour later.
Oh, yeah, and then
Got
that.
$11 million a year.
Because that's the other thing that was killing me. I'm like, well, I kind of get the jab, but I'm like, Tavares hasn't won anything with Toronto either, so I'm like, it's not quite as big of a jab as you think it is, CM Punk here. Like, I know you know your hockey, so you've got to know that maybe if Toronto got out of the first round of the playoffs, Tavares might have some bragging rights.
They're up right now, so they're trying to tie the series. But
But and then it was hilarious because Excalibur ends up calling it a peace offering,
yeah.
and then there's a commercial break, and clearly someone said, "Okay, you don't watch hockey. This is what that situation is about." And they come back from the commercial break, and he's just like, "Oh, okay, yep, I was informed that he was kind of mocking the Long Island fans, so never mind."
Yeah, I actually kind of like that though. Like, yeah, I didn't know. Someone told me. Yeah, so whoops, my bad.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. Like, all right, you're forgiven.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it was like it was perfect. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, not a lot of people watch hockey. If he doesn't watch hockey, well, I know he doesn't watch hockey just from the comment.
I think it's a pretty good bet that he doesn't.
But
But
yes.
like the majority of the country doesn't.
Yeah,
So, but real
that.
quick on the hockey stuff, have you been watching any like the? Well, no, you don't get a local feed for Pittsburgh, I guess. They're.
No, I've been watching them on the national channels.
Okay. Have you seen like? Okay, when Wayne Gretzky was a player, he had blonde hair, right?
Yes.
Okay. You get older, your hair doesn't turn black or brown. What the hell is he doing? Have you seen him in the studio?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he just has good bad genes or he's doing something unnatural there.
But it's like,
Because
why would you?
there's enough gray in there and whatnot that I have a hard time believing that it's something purposeful, you know what I mean? Unless it's like, what is that,
That
the touch of gray or some bullshit like that?
seems totally on purpose. He was blonde as unless he dyed his hair back then when he was playing.
Oh.
But he's in the studio, he's got dark hair, which is not what happens when you get older. Your hair doesn't darken up.
I guess I
Even as a
did.
corpse, I believe it turns gray because all the stuff goes away. So
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of almost a form of fingernails.
old is he? Just curious. He played forever. Yeah, he's
Yeah.
61 and all of a sudden has brown hair. Get the fuck out of here. Like, no. I don't know why it bothers me so much, but I didn't recognize him. Who's this guy? Because, obviously he's older. He's not playing as much, so he's a
It
little
was
chunkier.
actually kind of weird. I feel like he's kind of been out of my orbit for a long time. as far as seeing him on TV. Like, I don't feel like I see him on TV all that much these days.
I saw him the one time and I haven't seen him since.
Well, he's on, is he on TNT, I believe?
Oh, they have different studio shows for different networks?
Yes.
Oh, that's weird. Oh.
Yeah, because they have the ESPN cruise and the in the TNT TBS cruise.
Oh.
But yeah, he's on the one there.
Who's Edmonton playing? I forget already.
Oh, sugar.
Not Nashville.
No, Nashville just got spanked
They got
by
swept.
Colorado, which was unsurprising at best. Colorado is very, very good at hockey.
Well, whoever they were playing, wasn't the Jets.
It's the LA Kings.
That's it. Okay, so I was watching that the other night, and whoever was doing the play-by-play, she is not ready to be on national TV.
Oh, I thought she was okay.
She wasn't. All she was doing was, okay, so pass to the right, up the ice, pass to the left. I'm like, do you, who has it? Like, if you shut your eyes, you have no idea what's going on. You don't know what team has it. You don't know what period it, like, I'm like, what is going on here? And then there
Oh.
were times where she was just quiet.
Yeah,
And
I
I
guess I
appreciate
thought she
Linda.
was okay.
Yeah, I it was stark to me.
The
So,
tone of her voice was catching me off guard.
yeah, yes, but I think that's fair though. You're not, honestly, you're not
But I
expecting
think
that from
you're
yourself.
right. Like, I think she was describing it to me more like a radio broadcast than most regular play-by-play guys do now.
See, I was gonna say she was calling it like a video game. Cause I maybe we're just used to like Doc Emmerich and all like these professionals. And because well, by the way, I don't even know who it was. I didn't bother to look it up.
Yeah, I mean,
But honestly,
I'm
she's
just gonna
not gonna get
also
better.
say she's probably moving up, 'cause when you're getting the late night hockey feed, I'm sure that's not the highest part of the totem pole for announcers. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I'm checking to see who it was.
So I would imagine that she's a little bit newer. I'm not sure, 'cause yeah, I had never seen her before either.
I can't even find out who the hell it was,
Yeah.
so.
I mean, they don't all they're not all perfect off the jump.
No, and that's not what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying she's a lost cause.
Hey,
I'm
oh
saying I don't think
yeah.
she's ready, let alone for a playoff game. But
I,
whatever.
yeah, I mean, I guess that's what happened, because I do know that you can watch it on the local stations in the first round still, as far as I know.
Yes, yeah, because they have the Carolina one. It's on the Bally Sports Network right now.
Okay, because I did watch the Carolina game when I was in Carolina, and I think they had it on the national network. I don't think they had it on Bally Sports. So I will say that.
This is driving me fucking nuts that
It
they didn't
I
score.
do enjoy watching Boston lose, so I'm kind of bummed right now that Carolina is letting Boston win.
The game was good, and then Boston just came out of nowhere and scored two goals almost back to back, and that was it. So
Yeah.
go to seven. Yeah, I don't know. I can't find who it was. Why would they bother telling you? So.
Oh, who the announcer is.
Yeah, that's all I want. I just want to
Yeah.
know who
Well,
I'm
and
listening
what's
to.
his name did not. Dominic Moore was not helping the situation, I don't think. I'm going to say that. Again, late night hockey feed. I'm just saying they did not send the A team. As much as they love, as much as I do love watching Connor McDavid play, that was supposed to be kind of something of a blowout of a series, honestly, because L.A., I don't know. I didn't expect L.A. to put up that much of a fight, honestly.
Oh. Leah Hextall, I believe is who it is.
Oh, is yes.
Is that Ron Hextall's kid?
I believe so, yes. That's right. I completely had forgotten her name. I remember now that you bring now that you say it. Yep. Because I do remember them. I think one of the Penguins reports mentioned that she was going to be on TV somewhere, and I had kind of forgotten about it.
Well, she was the first woman to hold a play-by-play role as a part of a national TV broadcast. Wow, good for her. But. That yeah. being said,
yeah.
Oh no, her cousin is Ron Hextall.
Oh, okay, cousin. Okie dokie. Well,
hopefully
hey.
She's better. So,
I mean, you mean me. Their cousins are allowed in sports other than Samoans?
Yeah. But if this was WWE, she'd be like, I don't know. Well, Fallon Henley's a real person, but she'd be something totally different. Like, yeah, well, you know, Mike, and everyone's chanting Hextall at her. She kept like, well, you know, she comes from a long hockey pedigree. It's like, ugh. That's awful crap. It's so bad. Yeah. Oh, yeah, real quick. So,
yeah.
This is a personal thing. I'm allergic to chili peppers.
No, that sucks.
I found that out today before we started. I'm not real happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're in everything I like to eat. It's just.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean.
I'm getting ready to grow a bunch of them. I'm pretty excited about that.
We are growing some. I bought some so I could have some to make stuff with.
Oh, that's tough.
I'm going to eat them anyways. I'm trying to come to grips with this. Because, I mean, that includes hot sauce.
If
it drinks hot sauce, I can't eat.
Yeah.
Salsa, if it has jalapenos in it? Because they all come from, like, the same family?
Yeah. Well, I guess that is... Oh, that's kind of interesting. Because I know my father-in-law is only green pepper, which is strange to me.
That is a strange one, actually, yes.
Although I do, I haven't eaten a green pepper in ages because green peppers suck, but.
They're kind of boring, but we bought some of those to eat, too.
Yeah.
They're just good for the fiber, I guess.
Yeah.
Antioxidants.
But I guess I do go a lot of chili pepper, honestly. If we're going, we do the reds and yellows, but also a lot of poblano and.
Nope, can't do that.
Jalapeno. And,
nope. I gotta watch salsa now.
Yeah, that sucks.
I gotta go back to boring ass. Can I just have a ground tomato, please? The fuck out of here. I'm not happy. I shouldn't have even brought it up. I'm
I do enjoy myself some tomatillo sauce.
Yes. I can leave jalapenos out of that, I guess, but.
Yeah.
Still. But it's like even mild wings, a mild sauce for wings, will have chili peppers in it. Not a lot. Sweet Thai chili? Jesus Christ, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a good
I don't
one.
Know what I'm going to do. Did I tell you they tried to get me an EpiPen? Or wanted me to get an EpiPen?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, I'm not doing this. I'll be fine. But. I got the dumbest ass allergies, dude.
You chili do peppers. Have some random ones. Like, yeah, I'm glad. I feel like food. I. Just stopped pretty much at almost the one.
Well, cats, a lot of people are allergic to cats or whatever. Well, you're not really allergic to cats, you're allergic to the dander. Yeah, well, you know what? I don't get cat dander from a dog. So guess what? It's a cat. Son of dicks. I can't stand when people tell me that.
Like, I know what my allergy is, pal. Yeah.
I know I swell up like a balloon, and it feels like I'm walking through quicksand. A callback from a show from a few weeks ago. But But it's like, I can't stand that when people, like, people have cats and go, because we can't, like, her friends, we can't go to two of her friends' houses. I have to stay outside. Because like, of everything, cats, the cat dander, I am deathly allergic to. Like, yeah. I have a hard time breathing, all that stuff. And someone, and people are so callous about it because they don't understand and go, well, just take some allergy pills. They only limit the amount. It doesn't ward off. Like, I don't feel like not being able to breathe clearly for 3 days. So thanks. I like being able to bend my arms without it being a chore. The workouts I do, the exercise I do makes it hard to move my arms half the time anyways. So,
Yeah.
So I'm going to add chili peppers. Something that's supposedly good for you, I can add to my list of stuff. Along with mustard, green peas, which, who eats that garbage anyways? So what?
Occasionally. Not too often, but occasionally.
These are gross and don't have any flavor. It's just like crunchy air. It's nasty. Although I take that back. What are the ones that are in Chinese food? Like, is it snap peas?
Snap peas.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Yeah. But I do like the snap pea. So yeah, eating habits, NHL playoff hockey.
I'm in fucking 50 and I can't eat hot salsa. Do you understand how dumb that is? You're not supposed to be, I understand you have limitations as you get older, but it's supposed to be like, you can't go on a 3 day bender because it's going to take you 8 to recover. It's not supposed to be that you can't eat, don't eat this because your body will reject it.
Yeah.
I would have lived a lot harder. Take some of these years off the end. That's what everyone's like, you know, you won't live as long if you do that. You know, the ones at the end? Okay. I'm not going to forget all my friends and family and shit myself all the time? Sure. I'll take a few of those. I'll take a few of those years off. That sounds good to me.
Oh. Yes, such a sunny disposition.
I'm also watching the Toronto Maple Leafs, yeah, possibly win a playoff series, which just pissed me off, too.
Oh.
So, I don't care if Brendan Shanahan's with their GM or whatever he is. I will never wish positive things for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So.
Auston Matthews is the man. I will just say that.
Yeah. Yay. It's weird how that stuff gets ingrained in you. Because like, even like I don't really like the Toronto Blue Jays, because they were a rival for the Tigers for a while.
Oh.
Now they split them all up, and I don't even know if the Tigers have a rival in baseball.
It still kills me that that Pittsburgh Detroit is the interleague rivalry designated, since it's Cincinnati and Cleveland is the. Those are the designated rivals in that situation.
That one, I mean, at least that makes sense. Pittsburgh and Detroit, like, what is there?
Yeah, I guess if you have those, if you're down to those four, I guess that combination makes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may as well make sense of one of them.
Yeah.
and not the other.
Oh, well, I was going to say, we were talking about your travels before the show. Yeah. If in the weekend of December 18th, if you come around Charlotte, Pittsburgh's going to be here. So.
Oh.
And then the Lions are here the next week on Christmas Eve.
Oh.
A 1 o'clock game on Christmas Eve. And I'm like, well, no. We travel. So, and really, Elise looked at me. He's like, "You said the last time we went to a game, you were never doing that again." Because that's when I think the Lions scored. I think it's maybe they, yeah, they didn't even score. and like fans were yelling. There were more Lions fans there than Panthers fans, and the fans were yelling at Patricia as he walked off the field. That was pretty sweet. And then I got COVID, so yeah, that's what it's like being a Lions fan. So
we were talking since the wife is a Bengals fan, and the Steelers open up the season at Bengals. We are debating tickets, so. There is that, I guess, on the NFL front.
Yeah, might as well.
So.
Yeah. Not easy being a Detroit or a sports fan for Detroit right now, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. I like the, I've got to admit, I do like the Joe Burrow, so not that I'm going to wish him well in that particular matchup, obviously, but.
Yeah. Well, the Lions always spark that hope right now, but it's like, whatever. still the same team, so.
Yeah, it is exciting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Steelers. I think that they can have an elite defense, and if they have a half-decent competency at quarterback, no matter who it is, they will be.
Good. You see your schedule?
Yes.
It's not pretty. So.
Yeah, because supposedly Pittsburgh has one of the easier schedules. And it was wild. I just saw that they travel the least of any team this year and never go out of the Eastern time zone. Like,
how do you manage that?
That's what I'm like. It's because they're playing, I think they're playing the AFC East again. Maybe not again. Maybe they play Buffalo because of a matchup. But they're playing the Buffalo, Miami, New England, Jets are in that division. So that's their, that's the one other division that they're playing, and they must be playing one of the Eastern divisions from the NFC also. And I wasn't surprised. Like Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Cincy have got to be the three most closely grouped cities in the NFL. And all of them have, they're on the low end of travel schedule. Which, yeah, like, when three of your games, Baltimore is the furthest out in that division. And Baltimore really is not all that far. And, no surprise that Seattle travels the furthest.
Yeah. Were there any overseas games this year? I didn't even see.
Yes, there's always overseas games. And that's it. Yeah, the Steelers must not be involved in any of those this year. I know that they did Mexico the one year. I think they've done London twice, maybe. They definitely did it once. I feel like it's twice, though. But if you're only traveling like 6,600 miles or something wild like that,
Jesus.
Compared to, I believe, Seattle was 29,000 and some change. It's just like, what?
That's nuts.
That disparity is shocking.
Yeah, I don't know if the Lions have anything overseas. I think they're on Hard Knocks, so I think you get exempt from that if you're on there. I think.
Yeah, there are weird rules like that, too. If you get one type of exposure, you can't get another type of exposure.
Somewhat that doesn't seem right, though, but...
In some ways, it's like, why not capitalize on it, I suppose,
yeah.
If that is the case. I'm not sure. I've never really watched one of those, so I don't know really what the level of interest is. The series is still running. Like, there's got to be some level of interest.
I caught up. I like watching Hard Knocks. It's the same thing every year, but whatever. Like, this year I'll definitely be interested because it's the Lions. The first time ever. Somehow, for as long as that show's been on, that's the first time the Lions have been on. And if you make the playoffs, you don't have to be on that show. Like, you're not eligible for the show. So,
oh.
It's weird to me that the Lions have never been on. But I think Dallas has been on twice.
Yeah, and I do feel like I've only really heard Pittsburgh being flirted with once or twice, but also Tomlin's, I think, all but 1 year been in the playoffs also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so, the year that he went 8-8 is the only year they didn't. They might have not gone one of the 9-7 years.
Because he's one of the guys that has never had a losing season, right?
He's the only guy that's never had a losing season.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He came into a good situation, mind you, but he's maintained it.
Like, yeah, if you go, did he just complete his 15th year, maybe 16th? Whatever it is, like, he's been in the league too long to make the Bill Cowher built this for him excuse.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
like, we are.
Bill Cowher, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, let's just, at least that part of things is just like, get out of here. So yeah, Tomlin has really done something special, and again, I think I've argued many a time, like, there are still people out there just like, get rid of Tomlin. It's just like, nah, dude, like, he's not at a losing season, like, get out of here. Like, that is the standard in the NFL, is to win games, and he wins games.
So, real quick before we get into wrestling, since when has Tampa Bay been TBL and not TB? When did they change that?
I don't know.
That's annoying.
Maybe it's just because it's TBS doing this broadcast, because I feel like even in recent history on NBC Sports that they just used the TB abbreviation.
Yeah, I mean, because it makes sense. It's Tampa Bay.
I guess
Toronto isn't Toronto ML. It isn't TORML. So
yeah, that you do not need to. There's no need to indicate the team moniker.
I wonder if they're doing it for symmetry, like one, you know, so, Toronto's T-O-R, Tampa Bay should be three letters as well.
Yeah, it's just like tough shit. I mean, Tampa Bay is only 8 letters, for God's sakes. You know, it's shorter.
I never really thought of it that way, yeah.
Is it actually shorter than the word Toronto? One more letter.
Two words, one letter more, yeah.
Yeah, there are just some abbreviations that make sense. It's just by the city. So, yeah, get that L off there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of get that off there, where do you want to start with wrestling? Because
I am cool. You had mentioned, I got home very late last night and still managed to start watching some of AEW. So I watched the first hour because it had seemed I was checking in on the Penguins game on Twitter. So I did catch some wrestling stuff, even though it was on the DeFranco 11 account. Wrestling is unavoidable on both accounts, just more so on the Stunt Granny account. And it seemed like there was a general enjoyment of Dynamite this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a good time watching Dynamite this week.
Yeah, like, that is definitely one of the more memorable weekday shows in a while from anyone, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, there was that one really good Raw, but the problem with Raw is still going to be that 3-hour albatross that's always there.
Right. Which, it's weird. Like, for Raw being 3 hours, they don't do anything in the third hour. Like, I don't even remember. What was the main event this week? Was it a women's tag match or something?
Yes, it was the, I did actually, oh no, I didn't pull up. I meant to pull up that report and didn't. So I'm like, oh, we might actually get to Raw this week. But it was another, there has been a string on everyone's dockets here, be it, oh, there, yeah, I did have that open. Motherfucker. Oh, yeah, Bianca Belair versus Asuka. There's been a, like, because AEW had a women's main event, and I did, like, I feel like I saw at least a couple of people mentioning this sentiment, like, oh, the WWE doesn't close shows with the women anymore, and then has, like, ripped off, like, six straight main events on TV with the women in it.
Which is funny, because I just said they really don't care about the third hour. So,
but,
yeah.
They're at least given, I do kind of agree with you, like, I think that they do try to have the bigger main events in the 9 and 10 o'clock hours and wind down a little bit with the 11 o'clock stuff these days.
Yeah, like, so I was watching Figure 4 online, like the Daily Show. And they've mentioned that the ratings for the 10 o'clock hour are bad. Like, starting at, like, 10:15, they go down or something. So that's why they had Cody and Theory start the 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
To try and retain. And then after that, I was like, what? And then, but the match went till 10:15.
when the normal drop-off happens.
Yeah. And, I mean, dude, as soon as they announced Cody and Theory, I was like, oh, okay, Seth is going to interfere.
Oh.
So, whatever, but Raw's weird because there's good stuff, and then there's just bad stuff. Like, I really like RK-Bro. I really like the Street Profits. Montez is crazy. That guy's crazy good, but, like, I don't know, when are they going to pull the trigger on him? Like, Dawkins isn't bad either, by the way, but he's just always going to get outshined by Montez Ford. He's not as athletic as he is. That, I mean, honestly, that frog splash he does is a thing of beauty.
there have been a lot of people where you're like, man, how does it keep on getting better?
Yeah.
Because I feel like someone else had surpassed Rob Van Dam already, and I don't know why the name is escaping me. And then Montez Ford does it, and it's just like, are you fucking kidding?
Okay, so there's like the, well, for me now, there's the three. Eddie's, because he used to do the bend, Eddie Guerrero, obviously.
Yeah.
Would bend himself up, then spread out. And it made it look a little more impactful. Then there's Rob Van Dam, where he looked like he just thudded everyone. And then the way he sold it as well, because he even said, I'm crashing my chest onto somebody else's, I'm going to get hurt too. That's why he always sold it.
Yeah. Makes sense. But,
yeah. And then you have Montez Ford, who isn't – he's a big dude, don't get me wrong. But he's not a big dude.
Yeah,
but
he's –
Van Dam always looked thick.
Yes. And yeah, Montez Ford is not that thick. He is – deceptively tall because Dawkins is a fucking giant.
I saw them at the Evolve show, and you'd be surprised how big Dawkins is. You'd be surprised how big both of them are.
Yes.
But they're not an Undertaker big. I mean,
No. Like, because I think Dawkins is like 6'7 or 6'8, but that's still plenty big enough be on the big end of the roster.
Yeah.
Because I always go back to the when they went against AJ Styles when they first got called up, and Montez Ford just towered over AJ Styles. I'm like, oh my god,
yeah.
Like, I didn't realize how, because Dawkins is just a monster. It was just like, oh, I didn't realize how big Montez was.
Yeah.
But again, he's more of a rangy. And yeah, his frog splash, among other things, is just a thing of beauty.
Yeah. The thing with his frog splash to me is the height. All right, so, like, the examples we've given.
Yeah.
His height, if the announcers were worth a shit or allowed to talk about this stuff, the height he gets is the reason that frog splash is so painful.
Oh.
If you drop a penny from top of a building, it'll kill you. You know, if it's high enough. So he's not like this bulky dude, but he's coming down with all his force from, what is the turnbuckle's what, 5 feet tall?
Yeah, that would seem right to me.
Yeah, and then he jumps another 5 to 6 feet in the air, it seems.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whereas like Van Damme, he got a little higher, but like none of these guys got as high as he does.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost at the point now where it's like, he's just showing off. And I do wonder if there's a WrestleMania match to where he's going to like just try and go even higher. Like he's holding back almost.
Oh.
And I will lose my shit if that ever happens, because
that
guy's great. I have nothing bad to say about the Street Profits. I didn't like him at first because I didn't get it. And Shahid's like, just give it time. You're going to understand it and you'll like it. And he was exactly right.
And I'm trying to think, have they been involved in... I don't feel like they've been involved in that many ladder matches.
Is the NXT one.
Yeah, I hesitate to say none. I do feel like it's been a little more limited, and I don't feel like he's had a chance to do that many crazy, you know, stunt matches.
I don't think he did. The craziest bump, the one that always stands out to me, is, I don't know if it was Steve Cutler or Wesley Blake, but whoever Dawkins destroyed underneath, like, a legitimate, like, football tackle or spear or whatever. And then Montez just goes and grabs a belt. I was like, what the hell? He just killed that man. It was great. There's just something about, like... Because someone was asking me why I like wrestling. I was like, well, I've always liked, you know, the characters, the actual drama. Like, it just... You know, I was explaining. And...
Yeah.
But there's also a certain joy, and I guess we kind of talk about this match next, it kind of goes, but seeing, like, a hard move in the ring, knowing, like, they're not supposed to be hurting each other, right?
Yeah.
Although I think some of that's kind of gone out the window now. It's just, like, an acceptable form of hurting somebody. Permanently hurt them. You know?
Yeah. People have taken a lot of pride in taking actual... Like, that whole, hey, let's show off my injuries thing is, now it doesn't happen every week. I do feel like it happens fairly frequently.
And yeah.
Becky Lynch having the hair braid whips recently is an example that jumps out at me from the recent past.
Yeah. But no, so like, but just seeing somebody like that Dawkins thing still stands out. And I guess, that's why I wanted you to watch it. And again, I don't know if this match was good or not, but goddamn, it was a train wreck. Sting and Darby Allin? And...
You mean Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin?
Yeah, well, sorry, Sting's always on my mind in these matches, so... Darby and Jeff Hardy.
It was kind of refreshing that both Matt Hardy and Sting were non-factors.
Okay, yes, they were non-factors, but Sting's daughter and ass was in the way.
Oh.
Jeff was moving the steps, and Sting is just standing there. He has no idea what's going on. Hey, idiot, he's moving the stairs. Move! And then Jeff, like, tosses him over. Sting, like, backs up, like, what the hell was that? And Jeff's like, sorry, man, sorry. He's like, no, get out of the way. You're not supposed to be down there anyways. Why are you here? Anyways. So there's the Sting part for this side.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that really should be the only Sting section. But that was his most noticeable moment in that match. Yeah.
But that bell rings. And Darby kicks the shit out of Jeff Hardy.
That dive is one of those things that...
I'm talking about the kick. The dive was next. Darby shoots across the ring and kicks the shit out of Jeff into the corner. And if Jeff goes to the outside, that dive... Go ahead. I'm curious what you say.
No, Darby Allin does that to pretty much everyone. He really seemed to be on target last night.
Yes, he hit every single part of Jeff Hardy he could with him, with himself. It was fantastic. I love Darby Allin. I don't know anything else about him. His matches, the way he treats himself, is awesome. And unfortunately, the way he wrestles, we don't have much longer for him.
No.
So I'm soaking every single second I can up.
Yeah, because this was another one where it was funny where even the announcers are like, when they did the giant ladder onto the chair's spot, Excalibur is just going, I think Darby Allin took the worst of that. And it was just like, just state what's happening. Don't try to make up what was supposed to happen.
Oh, yeah, I was watching, they did the picture-in-picture, and I'm like, all right, nothing's going on. But then all of a sudden, during the picture-in-picture, he starts going up the ladder. I'm like, they are not going to waste this in a picture-in-picture. And then he fell off, and he got down for some reason, and they fought, and they went back up. I don't blame Jeff Hardy for this at all, but Darby shoots himself off the top of that ladder through all those chairs. And Jeff's like, I've already been kicked across the ring. I got cannonballed by this guy. And now I'm going to catch him coming off the top of a ladder? And he just kind of like bats him away. Darby crashes off the chairs.
He maybe shoulders him a little bit. But yeah, he takes about a quarter of the bump, maybe.
Yeah, and
Darby just hits the chairs. And the fact that gentleman can then get up from that and do a coffin drop onto the ring apron, whether or not it's actually the hardest part of the ring, because I feel like that has been somewhat debunked, it's still a part of the ring, and I'm assuming is uncomfortable.
I've seen PCO take those bumps. They're off. They sound awful.
Yeah.
But trust me, judging from somebody who fell off the roof of his house with a backpack leaf blower on, you're more in shock. Nothing hurts. And then the next day or later on, you're like, oh, man, get a little stiff. That's Darby today. I'll guarantee you today he's feeling every single inch of that chair on his back.
I would imagine.
I got, when I fell off, I got up. I finished leaf blowing.
Yeah, adrenaline does some crazy stuff.
Oh, dude, I kneeled next to the trash can, like, okay, I'm breathing and I can move everything. What just happened? Like, because I think I legitimately think I blacked out for a second, and then came back. So, but anyways. But yeah, and Jeff taking that, missing the dive onto the stairs.
Oh.
Okay, I'm being dead serious here, so, but I'm open to any other feedback. That bump didn't look that bad.
You know, there, when you put the stairs on edge, it does provide a modicum of flexibility.
Yes. And he hit it solid and kind of slid right off.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure it didn't feel comfortable. But I don't think it's as bad as it sounded.
It definitely wasn't as bad as the chair spot.
No, there's nothing in that match worse than the chair spot.
That was the worst. So, yeah, Jeff, he takes more calculated risks, and this style of match definitely hides some of his flaws. And it was another thing that was said during the match, and I think by Excalibur, not to solely pick on him because of the whole hockey thing, because I do like him for the most part as an announcer. He mentioned that Jeff Hardy needed this win, And I was kind of with him in that regard. Jeff Hardy hasn't gotten any traction there at all.
No.
And he needed a win like that if they want to use him in a more useful role, I think. Okay. Darby Allin is pretty much Teflon in AEW at this point.
Yeah. Here's my thing with the Hardys, because I think they extended Matt's contract as well, so both of the Hardy brothers' contracts end, I think, on the same day.
Oh, okay.
Dude, and I know how I sound, and I come off really brash about it, but Matt can't move, and Jeff is clearly not moving well.
He is not the same wrestler, that is for certain.
No, and it's weird, because he wasn't like this in WWE, was he? I don't remember him being this slow.
And I guess that's why I was kind of wondering. Because I'm not sure that I ended up catching the match that you said that he was really slow in. And then this match, again, like, because they went, hey, we're throwing out the rule book on this one, because it's Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin. A, yes, please. B, they definitely delivered, and it does kind of hide if Jeff is a step slower. Because, yeah, I mean, he had feuds with Sheamus, towards the end there. Like, and I don't remember him looking out of place with someone who, you know, I think you could put on the list of maybe a little lower down the totem pole, but a pandemic MVP in Sheamus. He's had quite a resurgence the last couple of years for himself. So to be in and around that act isn't not a bad thing.
Yeah, but no, my theory with this whole Hardys thing is, they want one killer match with the Young Bucks on a big stage.
Oh.
And I mean, they've had their match in Ring of Honor, the ladder match. But let's be frank, that's not. No. I mean, the majority of people did not see that match.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. You said it right the first time. A big stage. AEW is definitely a much bigger stage than an ROH show.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if the Hardys are just doing this to have that last match, because, like, the new generation versus old generation, and when it's done, that's done. Like, the Hardys ride off into the sunset. Something like that.
Yeah, like, they're in that, and I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but to me, they're in that Ben Roethlisberger territory where they've beaten up their bodies so much that some people get to play a little bit long, have a little more longevity in their career. Certain players, with the way that they play, have shortened careers. And the Hardys are both definitely on that list.
Yeah, I mean, and they're both in their 40s. They're not young either.
And there is that also.
Yeah. I mean, and the amount of damage they've done to themselves, professionally, personally, that catches up to you. I mean, they've lived...
Nine lives.
Objectively, they've lived a couple different lives.
Speaking of cats... So, yeah, they have. So there is a lot of mileage on them that are Hardys.
Yeah, and it's like, you can only ride on a tire so long.
Yeah.
And then the threads start showing, and all of a sudden you just blow out. And with their history, I really would prefer those two gentlemen to not just blow out,
Yeah. So, I hope their ring roles are limited.
Yeah, for sure. And get that big Young Bucks match out of the way and go from there. Like, they don't, like, they were on Dark. They don't need to be on Dark.
Oh,
I know they
gross.
Don't, I know they didn't have a problem with it, but no, don't waste the old bump card, as they used to say, on a match on Dark.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense to me.
I guess for exposure. You want people to tune in to Dark. Hey, Hardy Boys are on. Oh! You know, they do have that appeal. But is it worth a couple more views on YouTube?
Yeah. I can't imagine the number of people that tune in specifically for them is that high. Because it's definitely not a draw for me. And it's honestly, it's hard to hide their limitations.
It's really gonna be, yeah. It's really gonna be.
Because I mean, Matt has definitely been noticeable as far as mobility issues.
Yes, I mean, I saw it live, and it was rough. But no, like I don't like. So to go back to Darby and Jeff, I don't know if that match was good, but goddamn, I was entertained.
Oh, so. I was 100% sports entertained by that match. I guess I do think it was a good match. I wasn't surprised, honestly, that it was not a long match.
No, it wasn't. Thank God.
Because it started, they started doing announcements at like a quarter till, and they definitely ended before the 10 o'clock end time. So I think there was maybe a solid 12 minutes of action or something like that. Oh man. Yeah. I guess I did enjoy it. You know, if I enjoyed it, it's a good match, I suppose. Yeah. I'm not sure that I'm ready for a star rating for it necessarily.
Yeah, that's fair though. If you enjoy something, that means it was good, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not necessarily true.
I still think that people chant "This is awesome" entirely too early in a match, but that was awesome in its definitely its own way. Like it was not a 5-star classic, but it was definitely an enjoyable as hell match.
Yeah, I was entertained the whole time, kept my interest the whole time, so I guess that's a win, but. Yeah, the rest of the show was good for AEW. The MJF stuff was funny because he wasn't even trying to hide his disingenuousness, and the crowd still ate it up. Like, he was even for the people the cheap seats. You're poor. I mean, I love you, but you're still poor. Like, okay, and they cheered it. Like, okay, but
yeah,
just I enjoyed the segment. I liked when MJF said, uncuff him, and everybody said, no, that's a bad idea. And he just blows him off. That's how arrogant he is.
Oh.
It's a nice subtlety. Like he just didn't think, or just was so caught up in the moment, he didn't care. It was great.
Yeah,
that's a weird angle they're shooting with that, though.
Oh.
I mean, if you think about it, so you're doing the whipping, blah, 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 the cage, blah, blah, blah. If you lose, you can never sign with AEW.
Well, yeah, to me, the stipulation in this, I'm like, why does Tony Khan not have a say in this? Question mark.
Well, okay, in this case, because Wardlow is an employee of MJF. He's not an employee of AEW. That's why.
Well, I understand that point, but Tony Khan has literally handed out contracts on TV.
That's true.
And so it's just like, all TK needs to do is just walk up to Wardlow and go, here you are. End of problem. I get it. We're here. We're in a storyline. This is what we're rolling with. Cool. But yeah, like, I guess Tony Khan has kept his appearances to a minimum, but he's still had enough that, to me, getting like one of your top stars to stay in your company and who you've what they've been pushing him at minimum hard pretty much this whole calendar year. Yeah.
Well, okay, so that brings up an interesting, like, it brings up an interesting possibility. Okay, is his contract up? Because he was one of the original guys to sign with AEW. Remember they had those weird superhero, like superhero-ish vignettes with him.
Yeah.
So it's been 3 years, right? I think.
I would think that he has passed the 3 year mark.
Okay.
Because wasn't okay, he well, there yeah. pretty much from Jump Street?
Yes. Yeah. So. Okay, so it either means MJF is going to lose, or MJF wins and Wardlow hasn't signed a new contract with AEW. Or, I'm trying to figure out how you can get around the verbiage that he can't sign a contract with AEW, but currently he signed a contract with MJF, which allows him to wrestle for AEW. Does that mean Wardlow can sign a new contract with somebody else?
Oh, like have him sign with Ring of Honor and make appearances on AEW?
I didn't even think of that.
Oh, I thought that's what you're. I thought that's what you were headed for. Like it's kind of like the old "I'm coming back under a mask" situation with a little bit of a twist. You know what I mean?
The Midnight Wardlow.
Yeah, Midnight Wardlow.
Greatest angles ever. I love that Midnight Cowboy stuff. That's great.
Yeah, but I mean, it does kind of have a tinge of that storyline in it. So yeah, I guess you could go that route. It probably would not hurt. MJF has definitely taken his, fair share of L's here recently.
Yeah, I think you may be onto something though. I didn't think of that. I was focusing more on like him signing with, Jake Roberts. So he signed a contract for Jake Roberts.
Okay.
But your plan makes a lot. Your idea is a lot better because they need to fill out an ROH roster. So that's not a bad idea.
It would be interesting, like, because they've kept Wardlow out of. Well, no, I guess they did just have him wrestle Lance Archer. And I feel like he has maybe wrestled a couple of the main event guys. Did he have a match against CM Punk?
Yeah, remember he destroyed him.
Oh.
And then Punk rolled him up out of the blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And that was the other funny thing about that Jeff Hardy-Darby Allin match.
The end?
Yeah, the end was pretty funny. There.
Here's the thing. When you have, like, you know, as much as I hate the schoolboys, all that garbage, right?
Yeah.
But when you have, like, a real move, like, Darby was not getting out of that.
I love that people are bringing back real pins. Or at least ones that look like they're actually locked in, maybe I should say. Because Xavier Woods making this small package a thing on SmackDown is a thing of beauty. When you call it the backwoods and actually give it a name, I am forever indebted to you.
He has been pushing that for so long on
his down
channel. And he said something about how he wanted to do it off. He wanted to put somebody. I gotta make sure I say this right. Because there's like a punchline to it, which is even funnier. But I think he wanted to do it from the top rope. Put somebody in a small package, like a superplex.
Oh.
Call it a super small package.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it would kind of be like a Spanish fly, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it would actually. But there's no way you could do it from the top rope. You would just kill yourself.
And the other person, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Which does not seem like a good plan at all. But I love it. Yeah, I love the creativity. Super small package. I'd love if that somehow happened.
Yeah.
He does a spinning one off of top of a ladder with the other person just below him.
But no, it's like the small package. Remember, Daniel Bryan was doing that.
Oh, yes.
And it was effective because he locked your ass up. If you put someone in a small package, they can't move. If you control them, that's a legit thing. They don't move.
Hey, well, and that is the other thing. Woods executes it to make it effective. There are a lot of loose legs in small packages.
There's a lot of loose legs, period, in wrestling now. And it's infuriating to watch. Like, did you watch the Cora Jade Natalya match?
Yeah, I did get to watch that one.
Yeah, I can't stand that stuff. Sit your ass down and come up with a creative way of getting out of the move. Instead, like the Adam Cole Dax Harwood match, that made sense because he had been selling his ribs the whole time. So when he torqued back too hard and let go, and it cost him. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Natalya's out. Natalya's got her in the sharpshooter. And she's just standing up, allowing her to wiggle out. Stands up, or she gets back, puts her back in. Stands up. No, come up with a creative way of getting out of these moves, or don't do it. But it takes away all effectiveness from this stuff. Like when you do a schoolboy and you're standing straight up on somebody, that drives me. That is lazy, awful shit. I can't stand that. But it's like, just try. Come up with something. And I don't know. It's just a new way of doing things. And I don't like... Like, I do like Rhea Ripley when she would pin people. And I know people were making fun of her because she's basically, like, humping the other girl.
Well...
But... That's effective.
I laughed because that did get made fun of, and then I believe I saw it in three different matches this week. Because did Fallon Henley pin her opponent like that, I think? Maybe. And I feel like there was another match on AEW that had a similar pinfall look to it. I need to.
Real quick, while you're looking that up.
Yeah.
While you were watching, did you even realize that NXT was all women's matches? There were no men competing. It was all women.
Oh, yeah, because it wasn't. Oh, yeah, it had to have been NXT then that I saw it twice in. Because the only women's match in AEW is Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter, which ended in a Storm Zero.
Yeah.
Cora Jade versus Natalya, Gigi, and JC against Roxanne Perez and Wendy Chu. Oh, there's the mixed tag, I suppose, with Grayson Waller and Tiffany Stratton against... Yeah. Whoever that I'm trying to. Oh, Saray.
Andre Chase and
Saray.
Saray, which I actually enjoyed that whole goofy gimmick stuff. I really like Andre Chase.
Oh,
he's a good wrestler, and if they ever allow him to do stuff, you're going to be blown away.
His companion transforming like Saray was killing me.
Was it Bodie Hayworth?
I think so.
He's great. I mean,
there's a reason he's kind of like the lead stooge, I think. The guy really knows how to ham it. Maybe he's not a great wrestler because he hasn't been in the ring. He's got the entertainment part down pretty well already, though.
I mean, he even took, what did Tiffany Stratton do? Was it a dive, I guess? And he sold that dive like a motherfucker, man. She dove on him, and he flat-backed onto the outside. It's like, ouch.
Yeah.
Like, that guy, that whole, I don't know, the Chase U thing's dumb because it's a teacher, you know?
Oh.
But he's becoming more and more fraudulent, which cracks me up.
But
no one's saying anything about.
He's also a baby face while he's being fraudulent.
Yeah.
It's another one of those I'm confused moments.
Yeah, because Bodhi goes, oh yeah, I'm taking Japanese. He goes, we have a foreign language department? It's like, wait, it's his university. So it's like, well, wait, what's going on here? But no one's mentioning this. Like, there hasn't been a classroom segment in forever. And it's
kind of killed me that I feel like the Chase U portion of the crowd has gotten slowly larger.
Yeah. he's entertaining. And
oh, yeah.
When he was Harlem Bravado, he was the opening match, and I'd never heard of him before. I've heard of the name, and honestly, when someone says your name is Harlem Bravado, you're expecting a black guy. You just are. And this skinny, tall, white dude comes out, I'm like, what is this? In the opening match, they were beating the hell out of each other. They were throwing each other into the crowd. And yes, I had them run out of the way because he threw his opponent into our seats. It obliterated the section. It was great. And they're just going back and forth. I'm like, this is really good. So when he signed, I'm like, I don't know where he fits. And then they gave this Andre Chase thing. I'm like, oh, no. But he's making it work.
Yeah, this is one of those somewhat rare making chicken salad out of chicken shit kind of situations.
Yeah.
Because that was like the classroom stuff. Those types of vignettes for any type of character, there's a limit to them. You know, it helps establish you and get you somewhere. At some point, you need to move on. And I feel like he's making that transition pretty well. Like he's using those lessons to kind of more in the ring than on the segment end of things.
Yeah. But it also helped kind of establish his character, who's a hypocrite again. He's an Institute of Higher Learning. He doesn't agree with someone. He basically tells him to fuck off, calls him a dumbass, and kicks him out of his class. Like, what kind of higher education is this? So it goes back to what I said earlier. He's fraudulent. But no one's saying anything. Probably the writers aren't even thinking that. That's why. But still.
Yeah, like I said, there's still a lot of weird NXT crowd booing stuff going on in general.
I don't understand.
But yeah, Chase U is one of them. It's still like, no matter, I know that we've talked about it a couple times before, but Cameron Grimes seems to be backing up his word, yet for some reason he's being booed all the time. Like, he's taking on each guy separately that was just in a three-man NXT North American Championship. Like, why is this guy getting booed again?
Yeah, okay.
Because he can't take on Solo Sikoa and Carmelo Hayes in the same night.
Yeah, which, by the way, didn't he already beat Solo Sikoa? I don't understand that. I'm confused by this whole thing. He already beat him. But then Solo's out there going, I'm going to win the championship. I'm going to do this. Like, you already had your shot. And then you were in a ladder match and still didn't win. So, what? I mean, I'm confused by the claim he has to getting another title match.
Oh.
But then
I had kind of forgotten about his previous loss.
Yeah. Well, again, that's my fault for remembering and thinking this. Oh, by the way, my new favorite game is, did you notice how many times they used the NXT valet parking last night? Or Tuesday night?
Oh, because I only watched the YouTube version, no, I did not notice that how many that happened.
I think it was two times. Carmelo Hayes just parks their car and just walks in when there's clearly cars parked in parking spots. I can't remember who the other one was, but the other stuff was...
Oh, there was Legata. The parking lot stuff with, yeah, Legata.
Yeah. And they were getting their own cars.
I did, that was one thing I did like about NXT this week. I liked the segments this week. The Tony D'Angelo / Legata stuff was really good to me. Like the, cause was there one specific vignette? Yeah, I guess they had multiple vignettes, but I like that. I like the Ivy Nile challenge stuff a lot. Like those are both to me along the, and you know what? I actually kind of liked, Brutus and Julius Creed butting heads with Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
It's weird to bring in another person into that situation. If you're going to... I mean, I guess you could just transition Roderick Strong to a purely manager type if you wanted to. It's weird, yeah. But you could.
He wants out, but they're not releasing him, so...
Yeah, it's a pretty strange situation.
Well, I am... I guess in this case, I don't have much sympathy for him. It's like, dude, you re-signed. Like, your friends were leaving, and you re-signed anyways. So...
Oh, yeah, I couldn't imagine they were like, oh, yeah, dude, we're going to re-sign if you re-sign.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone in that group kind of saw the writing on the wall that they weren't going to get... If Adam Cole is getting offered bad parts on the main roster, the other ones aren't going to get offered anything better.
No. And I mean, his wife even got fired and he re-signed, I believe. Or was that after?
It might have been after that she got let go. Because I don't think she was one of the... You know, I mean, it's hard to say at this point now just because there were so many releases. I don't feel like she was one of the early ones. I could be wrong, though, in that department. There were, again, a lot of releases that happened in spurts.
Yeah, so, like, in his case, I don't have much sympathy.
Oh, but, yeah. And,
but they are using him. It's not like they're just sitting him down there in NXT going, hey, you got to be a coach or nothing.
He's still in better shape than someone that we've brought up a number of times also. Why did I just brain fart on her name? Io Shirai.
I think she's hurt, which is why she's not around. That one, I think that's the explanation for that.
Okay. I guess I just don't feel like I've seen anything one way or the other for her. So it's, to me, the absence has been kind of weird. I would not be surprised, though, if news eventually comes out. Oh, yeah, recovering from an injury. Because it has been that long. It's been long enough now that it's strange how long she's been off TV if it's not an injury. So.
Yeah, because even Zoe Stark is still out and hurt. So,
yeah, and I mean, they even had her make it, Zoe Stark, that is, come back and make that cameo for a couple of weeks with Io. So she's been on TV almost as recent as Io.
See, what I'm hoping with this Tony D'Angelo stuff is he wins and El Legado, all of them, go to the main roster already. Because they're wasted down there. But we'll see what happens with that. But... I don't know. I'm still not that crazy about D'Angelo, but whatever. It's my own fault. It's just my own fault by now.
It's dumb Goomba stuff from a different era. But they're really leaning into it. So I guess I'm kind of liking how they're setting the same, like, because they really did try to do, like, a little bit of a mini-movie with that segment.
Exactly, yeah.
So it gave it a nice vibe and something different for NXT. Yeah, they're kind of keeping with it. I was a little bit surprised that they had the sit down piece and then things fell apart. I don't know what else everyone has to do though. Like, especially Santos Escobar. There's nothing else he needs to prove.
Not at all.
And the other, well, we at least know that Joaquin Wilde has been around for forever and a day, honestly, at this point, even if he's still relatively young. When I started covering him, somewhat at the beginning of the Stunt Granny run, he's been in the business for a minute.
Oh, it's funny you mentioned Julius. Wait, which one is Julius? Is he the taller one?
Yes.
Okay.
I always think he kind of
He's gonna
looks
be
like
the
the younger one because he's not quite as big. Yeah, I think Brutus is the little stockier one, although
Brutus is what Vince wants, but Julius is exactly what he needs. Julius, his promos, they're not long. He sounds legit. His brother doesn't. His brother still sounds like he's reciting lines. Where Julius is like, I think this guy's gonna tear his ass up.
And he did all the talking this week, which is not
they
as.
both the other one got a little bit of a line in, but
Yeah,
that's it.
he did the majority of the talking, I will say then. Any training montage thing, I'm a sucker for because Rocky. So yeah, the Ivy Nile stuff was pretty funny.
She's shredded, dude. Like that woman is legit.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts. So
Yeah,
it was fine.
that's the perfect kind of segment for that kind of per 'cause she's another one where it's just like, hey, we're bringing her into the diamond mine, and it helped that Malcolm Bivens was her mouthpiece. I still didn't know very much about her though.
You still really don't know much about her, except she's a badass.
And I think that helps. That's one of those kind of fun to me. That is something maybe from the 80s that is enjoyable that Vince is using. I was gonna say, would Hercules have done something like that? I'm trying to think of a good example
Dino Bravo, remember he did the Fresh Prince
ah
record? On the
yes.
very first Royal Rumble, never forget it. It was a
Yes.
legitimate bench press. Jesse Ventura did not help him with that. So great. It's just stuff like that. Oh, okay, so real quick, I mean, it's an aborted topic, but what did you think on Raw of the Austin Theory interview on the old podium?
I did not see any of Raw for the most
Okay.
part.
So
The
you
only
remember.
thing that I caught was the that still weirdness with Lacey Evans.
She's on Raw now. Is she supposed to be a heel?
Really?
Yes. Pro Wrestling Insider said, yes, she's been moved to Raw, and going forward, she's supposed to be a heel. Let me repeat this. The woman who's told you her life story about abuse, drug addiction, parents, all this stuff is like, oh my God, this woman's overcome and become this? Yep, you're supposed to hate her.
I don't know why the WWE would think that. B, Chris and I have talked about it, which is why I wanted to bring it up with you. It's not coming off as disingenuous. It's coming off weird to me, though. I do not like. I wish people did not have to go through those types of situations. But she also sounds like sometimes I'm like, why do you sound condescending of people that had parents? Like, am I supposed to go, oh, sorry that my parents weren't pieces of garbage? Question mark? Like, I didn't have anything to do with that. Like, I know that you didn't have anything to do with the fact that your parents were indeed pieces of garbage. But I'm sorry for those of us that have good parents? Question mark? Like, she kind of has that tone to me, and it just, it's off-putting. And plus, she suggested everyone pretty much have a drunk father to have to deal with. I'm like, okay. Like, I get it. Like, I'm sympathetic for what your situation was. Like, that is beyond shitty. But the way, yeah, just the way it's been presented has been kind of strange to me. The way that the promos work have been strange to me. Like, the presentation is weird. Like, why am I getting this sob story when she's in, like, some type of negligee top and combat pants? Why is it not a sit-down interview kind of a situation?
Yeah, see, my thing with them was, the first one, I'm like, is this for real? And then the second one, I'm like, okay, because she always leads it off with, okay, here we go. I think that's what she says. And it's like, is this her trying to make stuff up? Like, legitimately, like, is that what we're supposed to suspect? Because her real story apparently is this. But is, like, the Lacey Evans character making the story up?
I guess if you want her to be a heel, I guess you could go that route.
That's the only reason I'm saying that. If she's supposed to be a heel, that's the only thing I can think of is she's been lying. Or, like you said, she is using it to be, like, you know, angry at people who had parents.
Well, yeah, like I said, it kind of comes off that way to me sometimes. I'm like, that's weird, woman. That is a little strange. And I guess I didn't think about it. Because what? Oh, Corey Graves was like, hey, I know that these details seem sensational, but it really did happen or something like that. Or they really did happen. And I'm like, that's kind of a weird one. Like, when you have Corey Graves backing you, that is a little bit of a, that says that you're going to be a heel to me. You know, because shouldn't Byron Saxon be the one backing her if she's going to be a babyface?
Interesting. Maybe they've been planting the seed the whole time.
I didn't pay that much attention until this week. Especially since, like you said, I hadn't thought about the fact, honestly, that I'd been watching all those segments on SmackDown, and then all of a sudden they do, like, all four and or five segments together in one little mishmash this week on Raw. Huh. Because I hadn't thought about her changing brands.
Yeah, I guess it was just kind of like a subtle thing.
Yeah. Like, whatever. Just because I'd seen her on there so much, it I don't know why it didn't register with me which show she was on.
Well, the vignettes only were on SmackDown, so why would you think she'd be moving, you know?
That's exactly what I mean. Yeah. Like,
so whatever. We spent this much time on Lacey Evans, but a wrestler that the problem's gonna be is when she gets in the ring. Well, at least she's gonna lose that Southern Belle shit. That was just.
Oh yeah, that was completely necessary.
Y'all nasty. It's like, okay, cool. Whatever.
Oh, but the Austin Theory podium thing. What did you want to mention something about that?
Okay, so I liked it. It felt different, even though it's the stuff we grew up with. they just had the podium, like, they came out on the stage and came up onto, like, the little platform. So you saw the ring and the bat and everybody in the background. And I know aesthetically for the people in the crowd probably sucks because he's got his back to him. But as the TV presentation, I always liked that in the old days.
Oh.
It made you seem bigger. You have... And I know when you're in the middle of the ring, you have everyone looking at you.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about you being here, like you in the foreground, and the background is everyone's looking at you. Instead of having, I'm having a hard time explaining it. Like you're in the round, but this one is like people are following you.
Oh.
They're behind you. So they're trying to catch up to you while you're talking. Where when you're in the ring, you've got the ring, post, the big area around. Well, you have people like right behind him when he's standing on this the platform. So I just liked the old style, like when Mean Gene used to do it. Oh. I just liked those better. And I hope they keep it up. But I think they brought it back a few years ago and got rid of that for like 3 weeks. So.
There does seem to be a lot of... I can't believe how many times we've mentioned like philosophies from the 80s popping up on WWE TV these days. Some of them have been good. Some of them are still bad tropes from the 80s.
There's something to be said for looking back at nostalgia and going, huh, maybe we should try this. And...
Oh.
I don't know. To me, like I remember Eric really liked these two. It was just cool. It was just different as well. It wasn't backstage. It wasn't some contrived thing. It was you come up here and I interview you. Austin Theory, I don't think he had his own mic. Maybe I'm wrong. But it was he got interviewed. So it's just a subtle thing I like. That's all.
Yeah. Sometimes there's almost a little too much leading in the interviews from time to time these days.
Well, that's what drives me nuts about AEW, and I know we're probably need to wrap up, but that's what drives me crazy about AEW. Tony Schiavone gets in the ring. He's supposed to interview you. They immediately take the mic away from him, pat Tony on the back, and Tony goes, okay, and walks off. That's not necessary. Just talk. Or let Tony hold the mic. One of the two. That was what I always liked about Mean Gene. The wrestlers would try to take the mic, and he'd be like, get out of here. Because if you take the microphone away from him, I am not necessary. So, no. My job is to interview you. Your job is not to take the mic away from me to say whatever you want.
Yeah, and it's not something that really works in other sports either.
No. Yeah, I mean, all right. Yeah, imagine, like, you're watching football, and those stupid halftime interviews.
The coach just grabs the microphone.
Points. What can you do differently? And he just yanks the microphone away from her and cuts a promo. You'd be like, what? Actually, it'd be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would love it. But it would be really, really awkward.
Yeah. So, just stupid.
Oh, man. Do you want to end on that note, then? I mean,
might as well. We've been going for a while, so.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to put in wrestling-wise. So, belt on beer of the show. I feel like I'm clearing out some of the... probably been around the DeFranco household a little bit longer than others. This one from near Dayton, Ohio, Yellow Springs Brewery, Boat Show, IPA. I feel like now I've been... featuring IPAs that I like, Boat Show is on that list. Although this was one that I know that I've liked for quite some time at this juncture. not necessarily overly tropical in flavor, but it does have a little bit of that bent. And I can tolerate more of the bitterness that is involved in this one than some other IPAs. So that is the belt on beer on my end of the microphone. Do you have anything, Mr. Mays?
I finally had to break into this crowler I've been sitting on from Blue Ghost. They are in, I thought was Ard, North Carolina, but it's actually Fletcher, North Carolina, which is outside of Hendersonville, which is outside of Asheville, which is 2 hours from Knoxville, 2 hours from Charlotte, and an hour from Greenville, South Carolina. It's the Valley Haze IPA, a bitter, hazy IPA, and it's really good, but they don't can their stuff. They do – it's interesting. They do, like, canned crawlers.
Oh.
They don't make them for you. They're just in the fridge.
You know, I don't mind the crawlers. They do keep much better than the growler, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still have something of the same problem in and of the fact that once you open that that bad boy, though, you really need to drink it in fairly short order.
I am. So before the show goes off the rails. Now, it's really good, though. It was a special batch. I don't know if they'll ever make it again. Blue Ghost is an interesting place. I don't know why it's called Blue Ghost. I never asked. Because none of their stuff is marketed that. So, but there are like two fireflies that are blue. So I'm wondering if like Blue Ghosts are fireflies.
I don't know. So, they're usually green though, aren't they?
Yes, that's what I always thought, yes.
So, or a yellow, I suppose. I would not think of blue necessarily. Also, I suppose on my travels, I should mention some very, very... I went to two very small breweries. They are definitely in the category of nano breweries because they did not even have canned beers. I'm not even sure if they had growlers, honestly. Oh, no, the one place definitely had growlers. I forgot. They did have something for that. But Naughty Dog Brewing and Local Oak Brewing in Greenville, North Carolina. Pretty good stuff. They didn't have anything crazy wild on the menu, honestly. The Cosmic Sorbet stood out to me at Local Oak. It was a sorbet sour. If you like sorbet, it's very good. I am a sorbet fan. So yeah, if you like that kind of flavor, it's definitely one to dig on. And what did not enough black IPAs get made? Naughty Dog's Black IPA, Tony's Black Black IPA, I believe was just the name of it. Very tasty. Nice hop level, nice roasty malt level. I do love myself some dark beer and some hoppiness all at the same time. So, additional Beltane beer choices sort of in your neck of the woods about 3 hours away.
Yeah, I was like, kind of sort of, no, it's not. So.
Okie dokie, grandkids. That's the suggestions from at DeFranco11 and at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of purveyors, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.